May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Every church that I have served as rector has had the time-honored tradition of a Sunday, usually close to St. Andrew's Day on November 30th, where the Kirken of the Tartans has been observed. Every church does it just a bit different, but the essence of what is being honored is there. And although it has its historical roots centuries ago, this particular practice that we are about today really originated in 20th century America. The Kirken of the Tartans service was created during World War II by the Reverend Peter Marshall, who was originally from Southwest Scotland and the pastor of the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C., one that I saw from just a couple of blocks away just 2 weeks ago when I was in D.C. with my family for my niece's wedding. In 1941, he served as chaplain of the U.S. Senate as well. And to encourage Scottish Americans to sign up to fight on behalf of Great Britain, he created, really recreated, the ancient tradition of the Kirken of the Tartans ceremony to try to instill both solace as well as patriotism among Scottish Americans in their Scottish homeland. The ceremony was at that time, of course, held in Presbyterian churches throughout this country. But it quickly made its way into the Episcopal Church, and parishes everywhere began to observe this tradition because of our strong Scottish ties as well. Of course, because Samuel Seabury, our first bishop, was consecrated as bishop by Scottish bishops. In return, he promised to have much of the Scottish prayer book wind up in our liturgy, in our prayer book, and so much of what we pray on Sundays has deep Scottish roots. William Putnam writes, "So the rally cry began with pipes and drums leading. We Scots heard the war cry and responded proudly with kilt around the knee." He concludes, "The wearing of the tartan was allowed by our soldiers, and their Scottish pride restored." So perhaps today, it points to all of us worshiping in St. John's Episcopal Church, whether we have Scottish descent or not. I was told by Joe Hughes that we're all Scottish today. But whether we have Scottish roots or not, we are bound together. We are bound together because of our common belief that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We are related to one another. We are related to one another most significantly through our baptism, when we were marked as Christ's own forever. And our very presence here this morning, and our desire in just minutes to hold out our hands, to receive the bread of Christ into our bodies, is a testament to our being connected to one another in the strong name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. our reading that we heard beautifully read from Hebrews today proclaims, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful. Faithful to each and every one of you, wherever you find yourself this morning, both individually, within your family, and for us corporately as a church. Jesus is faithful, and we confess our hope in his faithfulness. It was the 1745 defeat of Prince Charles Edward Stuart's attempt to dethrone George II of England and to restore the Scottish throne to the royal house of Stuart, which led to banning the wearing of tartan. It was seen as something which was rebellious, something which was independent, something which attempted to overthrow those in rule. And so because it was banned, the Scottish Highlanders, unlike what we did today, parading the tartans in proudly because we could, or wearing them proudly because we can, they had to hide pieces of tartan under their clothing. And they brought them to church for a secret blessing, or kirkin, at a particular point in the service by the minister. And thus, that was their hope, their profession of their hope in proclaiming their allegiance to God in Jesus Christ, and also their Scottish heritage. God and Jesus, Scottish heritage. It was close, but God and Jesus first. So the tartan today, in a unique way, reminds us of our ultimate hope in Jesus Christ. We look at these banners, which will be up for the next several weeks in our sanctuary. We look at these banners and we can be reminded of our ultimate hope in Jesus Christ. Our thanksgiving to God that in this great nation in which we live, we can proudly and we can openly and we can freely confess our faith in Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and today at the right hand of God the Father. Each time we gather to worship as a community of faith, we ask for God's blessings, don't we? Upon our lives and upon those whom we love. And it is with the words of the Nicene Creed, the words of the Apostles' Creed, the oldest prayer that we know, affiliated with Christian baptism, that we confess our faith and hope. And so together today, let us now, in knowledge of all that we are celebrating, and in the hope of all that we are celebrating, let us today stand together at this time and say the words taught to us by the first Christians, the apostles, in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and he descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.